morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so, so good to be able to connect with you one more time, especially in this world where so many things, strange things are happening. God's grace has definitely been sufficient for us. I just thank the Lord for what He's doing in your life, how we are growing together. I know there's some dog enthusiasts that are out there, and you're looking in my background. This is actually an English sheepdog, and I'm just going to kind of leave it there, but we're going to talk just a bit about this sheepdog and what it has to do with prayer and this whole process of renewing our mind. There are a lot of things that are going on connecting with us through ebcnc.com. Just the other Sunday, I was telling people, please get the app on your phones, download that so you can get notifications. All you have to do is literally on your phone, your smartphones, go to ebcnc.com. Not .org, okay? It is .com because there's another church that has that same thing except for the N. So ebcnc.com. When you get to that beginning page of our, you'll see the church and everything. You go up to the right-hand corner, and there are some little connectors there or links there. One is an Android phone or iPhone, and you just click on that, and then it will take you to the App Store. And you can download and make sure you got that on your smartphone. That way, you can make your smartphone really smart. We've got a lot of things that are going on there. Monday Manna, where we have different types of teachings. Tuesday Noonday, where we're actually going through the book of Genesis now. I have just been led to go through the entirety of Genesis, pulling out sections as we're just taking a journey and just seeing God work in that early time period. And then on our Wednesdays, we're going to the book of Luke at 7 o'clock, our virtual connection. And on Thursdays at 6 o'clock in person, in our sanctuary, we're actually going to the book of 1 John. We'll be finishing that, going to 2 and 3 John, and probably pick up another epistle very soon thereafter. But we just thank the Lord for what He is doing. So much is going on at Ebenezer as we are fastly approaching December 25th. We will have some speakers that are in the house and also online for our 8:45 service. We're going to have Minister Curtis Hampton that will be ministering on that December 25th of 8:45 in-person service. And then at our 10 o'clock online, we're going to have Pastor Sherlock Bynum, always been a blessing of the Good News Baptist Church. He'll be coming in and speaking into our lives. And then at our 10:45 service, we're going to have Evangelist Joseph Lovell, a dear friend of mine. So good to have him back on that December 25th. So we're just going to be celebrating Jesus, lifting up God in our lives as we continually renew our minds and grow more in the Lord. Finally, thank you. Thank you for all that you do with your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to purpose in our hearts, and you're definitely doing that. So I thank you. We're able to reach out to so many things. For instance, today we're getting prepared for the Feed the Hungry ministry, where we go out on the third Sundays. Every third Sundays, we give out food and clothing just to encourage the people. So if you haven't participated in that, put it on your calendar for whenever that third Sunday comes around, Ebenezer Central Park. Please get there. It's about 1 o'clock, 1:30 that we're out there and just giving out love. So please, please, I encourage all our members, and even if you're a visitor, we would love to have you in the place. Well, I'm thinking about the Word of God, where we're going. The Lord is so, so good as we renew our minds together. We'll see you soon.
I'm going to read here from Corinthians, where Paul is establishing the church. And there was a lot of heathens in Corinth. So Paul had his job cut out. So we're going to start here at verse 18, and we're going to read a few verses from Paul in the Corinth. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where is the disputers of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since the wisdom of God and through the wisdom did not know God. It pleases God through the foolishness. It pleases God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the wickedness of God is stronger than man. Yeah. This is a word from God for the people of God.
Get back in the scriptures And let's renew our minds together to really learn how the Lord teaches us. We all have a teaching style. And when you study the scriptures, God knows how to get to us. And he is wanting us to just submit, to say, Lord, use us. And we're gonna find that as we get into the scriptures today. But before then, I want to get into our memory scripture, Romans 12:2. I know, like Pastor, we say this over and over again. I want you to get it deep down into your heart. So we're saying it, reading it aloud, so it'll get down into our spirit, that we can literally use that at various times as we're confronted by the enemy. And he does come quickly. Any amens out there, just put in the chat, amen. So Romans 12:2, let's read it together. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Give yourself a hand clap. You can put the emoticon there. I was just thinking as we were going through that, my wife used to teach our kids, and in teaching them scriptures, she would do hand movements. And I wanted to, you know, point to my head. So whatever it takes for you to get it into your heart, that's what we want. Well, let's get into this portion of scripture. If you were with us on last Sunday, I told you I was led to continue in this chapter, and possibly even the following Sunday I'll be here again. So just really getting a rich context just to see how God works in the renewal of my mind and learning of him. So let's go to Acts chapter 9 and that verse 17. Acts 9:17. While you're getting there and getting all your notes or focusing in, I want you to please go in a word of prayer with me. Father, I just thank you for this day that you've made and that we can even rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, so many challenges during this season. Many people are challenged with depression, missing their loved ones, Lord. Some are just going through, they don't even know why they're going through. So we just rejoice that you're God every day, that you are faithful every day. I pray for those who are looking and listening in now that may not be saved. Pray that today be their day, that they realize that you have chosen them, you've made them the elect, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead, and you said they would be saved. Let them know us by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you. Now, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Move me out of the way. Holy Spirit, would you please teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you. We give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 9 and that 17th verse. And Ananias went his way and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to speak from a title today, Embracing the Call. Embracing the Call. Saints, as we enter into this portion of scripture, I really want you to think about the call that's on your life. If you are saved, if you are part of the body of Christ, you have a call on your life. That call is defined that it's bigger than something that you just do every day as far as going to work or a special hobby. But this call is that you know it's from the Lord, and it is changing people's lives, that it is impacting people's lives, that they may be pointed to the cross, that they may be pointed to Jesus. If you don't have something like that in your life, I encourage you. That's where this renewal process is so important. Get in the scriptures, praying. We're going to talk more about that, because that's the only way we can truly embrace our call. Some people know that there's a calling, but they have not yet embraced it. Getting in a little background from last time, transition, remember Saul/Paul, he is upset with the Christians. He was there holding the coats of that crowd that stoned Stephen, the first martyr. He is so upset after that incident against the Christians, because he thinks they are heretics, that he gets papers that allows him to go into other areas. He travels about 150 miles. He's livid, and there on the Damascus Road, Jesus shows up, knocks him down with this light, surrounds. He gets a vision of Christ, and when he gets up, he can't see anything. He is submissive to the Lord at this point, and now this renewal is taking place. 35 AD. Wow, so close to that resurrection of Christ, but now he gets it, and God is going to do a wonderful thing within his life. Just a little review from last Sunday. Remember Acts 9:6. So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." That title is, "It's Time to Change." Any amen? Little points in review. The old man, the voice, conversation, surrender, can you hear me now, and walking by faith. Let's get into this section, Acts 9:10. "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias,' and he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" I love that. Don't you love that? That whole submissive process that God is working on both sides. Here's our first point. Answer the call. Yes. Answer the call. In this season and time, I think that we have information overload on our phones, our smartphones. We've got text messages coming in. We've got emails coming in. And then we've got people that want to call us and connect with us. I remember it was some years ago. I think I was talking to one of my daughters, and I was like, "Just call the person, you know, instead of texting." He was like, "No, Dad, you don't do that. We don't call anymore. That's actually rude to call somebody." Well, I'm telling you, you need to answer the call of the Lord. I think so often that we see and we sense that God's calling is coming in, but we kind of ignore it. There ought to be some shouts of amen out there. Just ignore it. You look, it's Jesus. I'm not ready. I got other stuff. It's going to take too much time. But in order to renew our mind, we have to be there for God's beckoning call. When he calls, we have to answer. Notice here, Ananias is one of those who is in tune. He's renewed himself, renewed his mind, knows how the Lord teaches him and speaks into his life, and he's ready to receive from the Lord. Just a little background, we actually get that a little further within the book of Acts, his character, Acts 22:12. "Then a certain Ananias," here it is, "a devout man." He was devout. He was focused in on the Lord in prayer. He had a single vision of getting to know the Lord according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwell there. How are you in that process of growing in the Lord, renewing your mind? Do people see you as devout? Wow, can you put that in the chat? Would you just type that, devout, D-E-V-O-U-T? Very powerful here, thinking within that scripture. Do people see you as one who walks close to the Lord, embracing the call? He is living a life of renewal so much that God knows, "I can speak to Ananias to do something that's very special." Remember the link here. We've got Saul. He's up blind. He hasn't eaten 3 days nor drank 3 days. He's waiting on the movement of God. I love Ron Canole, one of my favorite songs. He says, "If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, Lord, and my feet. Touch my heart, Lord. Speak through me. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me." Look at Acts 9:11. "So the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go to the street called Straight.'" I love the Straight Street. "And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Here's another point. The prayer connection. Yes, the prayer connection. Saints, we see this so often in people who are renewed and focused throughout the scripture, that God is moving on one side as one person is praying, and then God moves on the heart of another at the same exact time to make an intersection. And I'm telling you, God is still moving like that in this season and time. We have to be sensitive to the movement of the Holy Spirit, because somebody needs you to connect with them. Remember Jonah, we talked about him just briefly on last Sunday. God spoke to Jonah so that he could have an intersection with the Ninevites, so that they could actually submit to God's will. And this whole process, God is moving in powerful ways in this season and time. God put this on my heart. He says to renew our mind is to pray more. Yes, to renew our mind is to pray more. We really got to get close to the Lord. We really have to have that connection with the Lord on a daily basis, because when you go out, I was listening to a preacher earlier, and that preacher was talking about you don't know what you're going to confront. You don't know which way the enemy's going. He gave a story about this lady who was actually working in a toll booth that was on the highway, and she went, and a car that was a drunk driver driving a car, and the car ran right into her toll booth, and she was gone. She was called away, and we never know. So we've got to have a discernment within our lives to hear God's voice, to renew our minds. We need to pray more. The Lord teaches us through prayer and shows us what we must do, how we must walk, and who we can connect with. We need his ministering angels around us. The scriptures admonish us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Listen to this: rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Yes, we've got to have our consecrated closet time. Jesus taught about that. But even when you come out of that closet, you need to be connected. You need to be praying in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of embracing the call. This is Ananias. His life is encompassed in prayer, and so even the introduction of Saul, he is in prayer. How is your prayer life? Yes, how is your prayer life on a daily basis? What is the connection? Would you give it an A, or would it be an F? Have you failed in that connection? First of all, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your heart. Admit that you're a sinner. And now when you're accepted in the family, you want to communicate and talk with him. Dr. Tony Evans gave a wonderful example of this prayer. And some of you that were at the first part of this service, where I introduce, you know I'm going to talk about that sheepdog. The concept of prayer is closely related to a sheepdog. The sheepdog who helps the shepherd or farmer to round up the sheep is always trained to come to his master's feet. Sheepdogs are some of the most trained dogs in the world. They learn to round up sheep and keep them in the fold, box them in, and run and corner them too. Then the dogs come right back to the master's feet. A sheepdog would always pray. Here it is. That is, he would always find himself at the master's feet, ready for the next instruction. That's prayer. Prayer is that abiding relationship where believers stay at the master's feet. Are you staying at the master's feet? Are you a sheepdog today? Are you one that says, God, I am ready for the next order? This is Ananias in this connection with Saul. Look at Acts 9:13. Then Ananias answered, I love this, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. Here's a big point. I want you to get this one. Preconceptions. Yes, preconceptions. Now, this is critical because I want to define this, because even those who are devout, close to the Lord, praying without ceasing, focusing on the Lord, sometimes there can be some struggles because we're still dealing with that old man. Any amen? Could you put in the chat, old man? We still deal with that. Preconceptions are defined as preconceived ideas or prejudices that we have. Preconceived ideas. As we're saved, we bring into this Christian life bad stuff, stinking thinking, this whole process, and we have to fight and go, okay, God, what's your will? Is this your voice? And even as we're dealing with people, we can have these prejudices that come up. Notice here closely in Acts 13, Ananias, he answers, says, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints. So this is critical. He's never met Saul personally, but he heard through the grapevine. Yes, we all can be prone to gossip. We all can be prone. This is actually a truth. This was the character of Saul, but this is amazing as he speaks to the Lord as if God doesn't know what Saul had done. Any outies out there? So often we try to, you know, give God, we try to become the God in our lives, and even Ananias knows. He goes on that verse 14, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. I'm talking about embracing the call. See, when you embrace the call, there are going to be some times, and I'm a witness of this, God is going to call you to do some things that you don't like, that you disagree with, that can be challenging, even life-threatening. Yes, and here Ananias is like, okay, God, I am devout. I love you with my whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit, but I just want to make sure that you understand that I'm getting this right person, that you want me to connect with Saul. How often have we went against what God would have us to do because we weren't embracing the call the way we should? What hinders us from being used by the Lord in our lives? What preconceptions or should I say misconceptions of how God's moves do we possess in our lives that God is saying, I want to use you more, but I need you to renew your mind. I need you to get away from those preconceptions and those prejudices, and I need you to step out on faith and know that I've already worked it out. There ought to be some amens. I believe there's a word for somebody out there that God has already worked it out. You don't know how he's going to fix it, but God has already fixed it. You just got to trust him. Look at Acts 9:15, embracing the call. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Can you put chosen in the chat? That's powerful. Chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Here's another point. I've used this before. No more excuses. Yes, no more excuses. So often we do. We make excuses. God, what about this? God, what about this? God, I'm too old. God, I'm too young. God, I don't have enough money. God, I got too much. All these excuses, no more excuses. Notice within this scripture, Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name. Ananias, we don't need to discuss this anymore. You answer the call. I need you to embrace the call now. And I need, there's a time schedule. Saul has been fasting for 3 days. He hasn't drunk any. I need you to get there. This is prime time. He's been tended up. I've already approached him on the Damascus Road. He is ready to embrace the call that I have on his life. Notice he says, I got to get Saul to before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He is going to be used in an amazing way. No more excuses. 2 Timothy 2:20 talks about that God can use whomever he wants to use, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Verse 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. We must renew our minds, embracing the call. We must never take the reality of 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation. Can you put in the chat, chosen, wherever you're sitting, just say chosen. I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Embracing the call. Ananias, he is chosen just like you, and I want to use him in a wonderful way. I need you just to go. No more excuses. Look at Acts 9:16, powerful verse. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Wow, can you put in the chat, suffer? Can you type that? Here's the point. No pain, no gain. Yes, no pain, no gain. I've actually used this in a sermon also. 1982, Jane Fonda, she came this, and she was this exercise fanatic, and she says, you know what, no pain, no gain. If you can't feel it, you ain't really doing anything, but that pain is going to get you to that higher level that you need to be at. Please, God brings this out. I see this channel, this thought within the scriptures over and over. Paul's conversation with the Lord doesn't promise him days without suffering. There's been so much incorrect doctrine that's been put forth that when you become saved, that everything's going to be okay. Tiptoeing through the lilies, you know, smelling the roses, no problem, plenty of money, no issues, families all together. Please understand, God can do that. God is very gracious, but a lot of times we have to go through. There will be times of suffering. There will be times of loss. There'll be times of tears. We'll have to grasp that scripture that gives us understanding. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. But there are going to be some times of weeping. There any amens out there? Henson writes of this, as Saul had been the minister of suffering to many believers, he himself would now be the recipient of much suffering, both at the hands of believers and especially at the hands of his own kinsmen, the Jews. We have to go through in our lives. We suffer through things. Sometimes it was self-caused. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But sometimes we suffer. It's not our fault. Any amens out there? Well, you didn't do anything wrong on your job, but yet you're still going through. You didn't do anything wrong within your family, but yet your kids are going through, and it's impacting you. Your husband is going through. It's an impact. Your wife is going through, and it's impacting you. You were single, trying to do the best you can, but now you have bouts of depression, and now you have other things that are going on. There's a disease that hits your body. We're going through, and we're going, God, why me? And I put forth, why not you? As we embrace the call, God is saying, I can use you in spite of your situation. We also find out that it's actually not strange to suffer, to go through, no pain, no gain. 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering. I'm telling you, when is the last time you were suffering and going through that you started rejoicing? Got your praise, hon. I dare you right now in your house, wherever you are, just lift up your hand. I don't want you to disturb too many people around you, but when you think about the goodness of the Lord in spite of your issues, in spite of your pain, has he not been faithful through it all, to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy? Are there any joyous folks out there? Because God has been good. Are you embracing your call? Look at Acts 9:17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 9:18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Here's a point. Blind, but now I see. Yes, blind. But now I see. I love that. You remember John Newton, 1725 to 1807. He writes this standard, powerful. We sing it very often in our churches and our fellowships. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. This is so wonderful. Ananias shows up. This is the first encounter after the Lord said, just go. I got it. And he calls him something. He says, Brother Saul, you're my brother now. You are in the family. Please, he lays hands on him. There's no speaking in tongues at this point. At least the scripture doesn't bring it out. There's no shouting at this point. But God opens up his eyes. What a wonderful picture of what God does to our spirit when we are saved, delivered, and set free. Now we have revelations. Now we can see. The scales could have actually been an overgrown piece of skin. It was a medical condition in that time, and even in our daytime, that can cause blindness. But God calls at this point, as Ananias lays his hand, for those scales to come off. And now Paul says Saul can see. This is actually fulfilled that symbolic semblance of Isaiah 29:18. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes, here it is, of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. That's what God wants to do. As we embrace the call, our eyes pop open so that we can assist and help others to see the truth. There's so much darkness. Yeah, people can have 20/20 vision, but still be blind. There ought to be some shouts of praise in that. We have to embrace our calling, renew our mind so that we can see and we can lead others out as the Lord directs us. Jesus actually quoted this section in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Here it is, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus wants us to renew our minds in him that we can be used in wonderful ways. Acts 9:19, it says, so when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. Final point, fellowship. Yes, fellowship. This is a consistent line, foundational point throughout the scriptures. As someone gets saved, God always connects them to other believers in fellowship. This is a part of the renewal process. This is a part of the growing, how God teaches us, connecting us in fellowship. What a difference a day can make in people's life. We see Saul going down to Damascus Road, knocked down. Jesus speaks to him. Now he is on the way of being a Christian, loving the Christians. He has been embraced in the fellowship. He was just getting ready to drag Christians out and kill. But now, some days, life has changed in him. And now God has opened up his eyes and he's embracing the call. Fellowship is so important to renewing our mind. Let me show you Hebrews 10:24. This is powerful, even in our connection as we're virtually online. But even as we come into in person, we need that fellowship. Iron sharpens iron, Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We need that. I need you to connect with people to stir up this love and stir up the good works. We need this embracing the call, this teaching in our lives so we can renew ourselves. Hebrews 10:25 really puts a peg in it, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. My question to you, do you see the day approaching? We got to embrace the call. We need fellowship. Even as Saul is fellowshipping with the disciples here, I am so glad that Ananias was willing to be used. Ananias was able to hear the voice of the Lord because he had renewed his mind. He understood how the Lord taught him. That's why it's so important to embrace the call in your life. Christ has always been embracing the call of the Father, doing what the Father would have him do. Remember when Christ had been healing the sick and even raising the dead, he stopped by a tax collector's office named Matthew. Matthew 9:9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Are there any people that are out there said, I want to follow him? But Jesus also showed that to embrace the call was going to be tough. Yeah, there were going to be some times that you were going to have to go through, that there was going to be some struggles in Luke 9:57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Have you ever heard that? Lord, I submit to you. I surrender all. Luke 9:58. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. No more excuses. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my father's house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Are you embracing the call? I'm so glad that Christ gave us that perfect example of embracing the call. He suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane, but three times, on that third time, he says, Father, not my will, but let thy will be done. He suffered at the betrayal when they took him and they beat him all night long. He goes down the Via Dolorosa, but I'm so glad for embracing the call. He goes to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet. There he carries our griefs and bears our pains, gives up the ghost. They peel his body down from that cross and put it in a cold grave. But I'm so glad to tell you, 3 days later, you know, Paul the apostle, he had been changed from Saul, and now he had gone through that fasting time of 3 days without drinking and without eating. But I am so glad that Jesus went 3 days in the belly of the earth, and he gets up on the third day with all power and glory, letting us know that it's all worth it. There ought to be some saying, it is all worth it. And now he has risen to the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us that we can renew our mind and embrace the call. Will you accept the call that Christ has for you? Saints, these are exciting times. Don't allow the enemy to get into your mind and to get you sidetracked, to let you believe that God doesn't want to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to connect with others. But first, we've got to renew our mind. We've got to change our preconceptions. We've got to change to God's will, even when we don't understand. Even when we can be afraid, remember this, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Someone right now is going through, and I know you're challenged. You're like, yes, Pastor, I know he's calling me, but I'm afraid to pick up the phone. I'm afraid of what he's going to ask me to do, but I'm telling you, it is worth it. It is worth the pain. No pain, no gain. It is worth it, because guess what? One day when this life is over, we're going to have to stand before him. I'm going to fall down at his feet, and I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. What will you do today? Will you embrace that call? For those who don't know him, that first step into embracing the call is to accept him. Believe in your heart. The Lord Jesus got up from the dead. You got to believe that he rose from the dead, that he is alive and well right now. The Father rose him. And you got to confess that with your mouth, that he is Lord. You got to believe that you're a sinner. And the only way that you can be saved is through Jesus Christ and what he did on that cross of Calvary. And then that grace through faith comes working in your life. And now you can walk and embrace the calling that the Lord has in your life. Man, I encourage you to do that today. For the saints, there is more God is calling us to do. Yes, there is more in this season of darkness. God has called us to be lights in this world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. What will be your choice today? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this word, Lord. Thank you for this chapter giving us insight of the renewal process, how we learn, even using someone that was against the church and changing them as they walk for you, Father God. They love you with their whole heart. We get to see that process and how you can use other people to connect through prayer, and that people be changed, delivered, and set free. Thank you, God, for helping us to embrace your call. Lord, we believe that today you want to use us, Father God. We believe that today you want to cross our paths with someone. So, Lord, help us to hear you, to answer, to pick up the phone and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, we thank you for your victory in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. All to